On today's programme is Andrew Smith, who is the Education Officer with St Patrick's Cathedral. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm absolutely fine. Now, Andrew, you have a new initiative that, I'm assuming it's a new initiative that you're introducing, i.e. Educational tours.
Yes, that's right. It is a new initiative. It really is felt in the cathedral that education is something that should be at the core of what we in St Patrick's Cathedral do. So about 6 months ago, the cathedral's board took the decision that they wanted to do more by way of education programmes. And so as a result, I was hired as the new education officer. So I've been given the responsibility of putting together an education programme for the cathedral.
Right. And these are free tours, Andrew, are they not?
Yeah, absolutely. The decision was taken that it should all be free to primary schools, secondary schools, adult education, really anyone who's engaged in formal learning, that we would give them, first of all, free entry into the cathedral. If they want to use the cathedral in some way as a learning resource, that's absolutely fine, and we can help to facilitate it in whichever way we can. But also that we could offer them guided tours if they wish. If, for example, an art student is studying something on Gothic architecture, we can give them a guided tour, concentrating mainly on those features.
Yeah. You mentioned community groups and working within the community. This is something actually that St. Patrick's has done for a long time.
Absolutely. St. Patrick's Cathedral has a very long tradition of working with particularly the local community around the Liberties area. So again, this was something that was felt that we needed to do more in, and we needed to go back to, in a way, a lot of the traditions we have. One of our most famous deans, Dean Swift, Jonathan Swift, was very famous for the work that he did in trying to help raise the living standards of those living in this local area. Now, obviously, the challenges are slightly different nowadays, but I think the cathedral still feels that it needs to play a part in the lives of the people who live in the area.
Yeah, well, you mentioned its sort of sociological importance and its historical importance. Just to give us a bit of a background, is St. Patrick's 12th century?
It depends whether or not you're counting it as the actual building or not. The building itself is 13th century, so it's built between about 1220 and 1260. It's been considered to be a kind of a very holy site because of this connection with St. Patrick. St. Patrick was meant to have had a well on the site, which he used to baptize people into the Christian faith. And anyone who lives in the area might be familiar with a small plaque that's beside the cathedral, which is meant to mark the spot of this well.
Yeah.
So St. Patrick's Cathedral was built on the site in the 13th century. So it has a very, very long history at this stage.
Yeah. Actually, you just said something there that set something off my brain. St. Patrick baptized or christened children into the Christian faith. He didn't necessarily baptize them as Roman Catholics.
No, well, that's exactly it. I mean, people, I suppose, are very interested in the idea of the fact, of course, that the cathedral is still an active place of worship. It is an Anglican cathedral rather than being a Catholic cathedral.
Yeah.
But, of course, originally it was built as a Christian cathedral. I mean, this was all happening well before the Reformation. So, as you say, St. Patrick baptized people into the Christian faith.
Yeah. And I mean, throughout, since its, you know, its inception, since its construction, it has played a part in some very important historical moments to an Irish society.
Yeah, absolutely. Only quite recently, actually, we had a historical reenactment in the cathedral. It was part of Heritage Week, and we reenacted a moment in history between two medieval knights who had fought a battle close to the cathedral, and who eventually took the battle inside into the cathedral. And of course, one of the knights took refuge behind what's called the Door of Reconciliation now. And very famously, the other knight stuck his arm through the door as an act of peace. And of course, it gives the expression, which is still in use today, to chance your arm. So we reenacted that fairly recently.
Yes.
So it's these kinds of small elements in Irish history, which St. Patrick's Cathedral has played an important part in, I think.
Yeah, so who would be one of the more important people buried within the confines of the cathedral?
It's probably hard to ignore Jonathan Swift, to be honest. Mm. I mean, there are probably about 500 people buried somewhere in and around the actual cathedral, some under the actual cathedral floor and some, of course, in the graveyard outside. Jonathan Swift obviously is buried within the cathedral itself. His burial, according to legend, is quite unusual in that he was asked to be buried standing up. Anyone who knows the area knows that the River Poddle flows pretty much underneath the cathedral. So according to the legend, he didn't like the idea of lying down in the river, so he asked to be buried standing up instead. Right. We have a number of archbishops who are buried on the site. We've got a couple of unusual burials as well. We have a man named Adam Loftus, who was killed during the siege of Limerick, and we actually have the cannonball which was responsible for killing him, and he's buried on the cathedral grounds also. So as I said, every single person has their own story, and every single person is important in their own right.
Right.
And so some, of course, are more famous than others.
Well, isn't that always the case?
Yeah, absolutely.
Before I get on just the final details, you also have flags and standards, if I remember rightly.
Yes, that's right. We have a number of flags which are always of interest to people because they're quite unusual. First of all, in one of the transepts or in one of the arms of the cathedral, we have quite a number of Union flags or Union Jacks, as they're more commonly known, flying, and people often wonder why exactly what they're doing there. These are regimental colours for disbanded regiments, Irish regiments, within the British Army, and it's a tradition that these were left behind in a holy place, and this became tradition. St. Patrick's Cathedral became the traditional place for these regimental colours to be hung. So we have a number of these Union Jacks which are flying in the cathedral, and we also have like almost a coats of arms or family crests which are flying in what's called the choir of the cathedral. And these are for the Order of St. Patrick, or the Knights of the Order of St. Patrick. This is a kind of basically an order of chivalry which was set up in the 18th century, and many of the aristocracy, I suppose, of the time would have been in this organisation. And so each of the flags represents one of the families who is in this organisation. And the ceremonies would have taken place in St. Patrick's Cathedral up until 1869, and after that they were moved to Dublin Castle, St. Patrick's Hall in Dublin Castle.
Yeah.
So you might have seen during the Queen's Speech, for example, flags flying in the background, and those were also for the Order of St. Patrick. The Order still exists, actually, strangely enough, but as far as I know, it only has one member, and that's the current Queen of England. Whoever the king or queen of England at the time was automatically the head of the organisation.
Right.
So it still exists in theory, I suppose, anyway.
Yeah. Sorry, just going back to the flags, you mentioned disbanded Irish units.
Yeah.
What's the most recent one you've acquired?
Well, the most recent one would have been from the Royal Dublin Fusiliers, but that was to replace, I think, an earlier flag which we had, which unfortunately anyone who's visited the cathedral recently will see that unfortunately we don't make any effort to conserve the flag, so some of them get into a terrible state of disrepair. So we actually had one that was donated by the Royal Dublin Fusiliers to replace the old one. We have more recent ones from, I think there's one from the RAF, which is there, which is obviously more recent for obvious reasons. So there are a number of these flags in that area, and really that arm of the cathedral is there's many, many different features which are dedicated to Irish war dead.
Yeah.
There's a stained glass window, for example, which is dedicated to the First World War. There's another one which is dedicated to Irish in the Crimean War, which is obviously a lesser spoken about, but would have been a huge amount of Irishmen fought in that war.
Yeah, and if my memory serves me right, I mean, the inscriptions are to all those who fell during the war. It doesn't say all the British soldiers.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think that's it's interesting that they chose that language to be, I suppose, more inclusive.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and I'm sort of speculating, but I think that was definitely a conscious decision to include those who might have fought against the British Army during the period.
Oh, absolutely. Well, look, Andrew, back to these tours. Now, obviously, there has to be a sort of a size limit kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the ordinary primary school or secondary school usually will come along with 30 or so kids.
Right, okay.
Which we can accommodate that. Larger groups, what we normally do is split them up into smaller groups, and then I try and get some people from the cathedral staff to take them around the cathedral. But as I said, I mean, we're kind of flexible in that regard. So we're hoping to hear from teachers and listen to what they want, and we'll try and provide it if we can.
Okay. Is this 5 days a week?
Yes, absolutely, 5 days a week. I mean, again, the majority of schools will want to come during that period. We do occasionally get people like community groups and scouts, particularly in on weekends. And again, that can be facilitated.
But and of course, preferably you'd like people to ring ahead and make arrangements.
It's crucial that they book ahead, because if they just simply turn up on the day and we don't know that they're coming, A, we probably won't have planned for someone to be available for them, and B, they might be asked to pay into the cathedral, which obviously they wouldn't have to if they describe themselves as an education group.
Right. Okay. And the number they should ring, Andrew?
It's just the office number here, which is 453-9472.
Yeah.
My own email address is education@stpatrickscathedral.ie. So I can be reached, or one of the education department can be reached, or those numbers, and we're happy to talk to people, I suppose.
Okay, well, look, many thanks for your time, Andrew.
Yeah, no problem at all.
I hope it's a resounding success.
Great, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
No problem, bye-bye.